But I was thinking about art and vision together, and we can all agree to disagree on art, that it's all different sorts of things, but and we could like certain things and not like other things. But there's a lot of definitions. There's not a lot of definitions. So here, I'm going to give you a definition for art, okay, that I got off of out of a dictionary. The expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in a visual form such as painting or sculpture, producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power. That sounds like art, right? We create something, it's out of our skill or our imagination. We put our hands to something, and in a visual form, we make something that people can love, people can appreciate because of its beauty or because of the power that we feel from that picture, all right? And, well, there's a lot of technical things we can talk about in goal setting and vision and habits. I want to focus on the bigger picture, a scriptural picture of vision, even though this will apply to your marriage, to your business, to your job, to your financial goals, to your health goals, to your mental and emotional goals, and the fullness of who you want to be next year and what you want in your life this year, is there's vision is inherently an art form where we take what God has given us, and in partnership with Him and the Holy Spirit, we develop our personality to be pleasing and beautiful and functional in the world. We develop and we take our gifts and our talents. We take who we are, what God gave us, how God created us to see the world, and we take that and we see into the future of how that can be best utilized and best used, okay? So it's the art of vision. So it's taking this vision idea of like, I want more money, or I want less weight, or I want this to be a better part of the world. But it's taking us and developing us to pursue that vision. And that's who we become. And the cool thing is God uses junk for His beauty, doesn't He? God uses junk and scraps and things off the heap, the dump heap. And He takes stuff out of the trash that nobody else wants. He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. He takes the ugly things and makes them beautiful. So when we're thinking of vision, we're not thinking, what do I have now and how can I get more of it alone? It's when we're thinking vision, we're like, what has God given me that is even broken and damaged, that life is broken, that others in my life have broken, or that I have messed up, and how can I get God's perspective on it and pursue what God sees about that, okay? So Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to read it in the Message, okay? That was NIV. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Most of you have heard that, where there's no vision, the people perish, all right? And where there's no vision, people cast off restraint is a better translation, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And I'm going to give you even a better translation of what the word vision means later. But in the Message, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. So we kind of get an idea here of what vision is a little bit more and more. And I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to explore briefly these three questions. So number one is, what is vision? What is vision? Well, vision, we've always used vision as it's like where I want to go, where I see myself going. If I can't see my life being this way in the future, then something's actually broken with my vision that I can't see, but I can't see in my heart. I don't have hope for my future. That means your vision is broken. But this scripture specifically, where there is no vision, that word vision could be replaced. The best replacement is revelation. Where there is no vision or there's no revelation, people perish or people cast off restraint. Now, this word revelation is happens when God delivers divine, heavenly mysteries or information to humanity, okay? So revelation just isn't anything. It's not like, oh, wait, I should have had a V8. It's not one of those moments, all right? But it's like, oh, this is how the world works, or this is how I was created, or that's God giving us mysteries. Now, a lot of things that we take for granted at one time or another was a mystery. I mean, think about that. We were outside having conversations about black and white TV, and over the holidays, I was talking to a guy that was 32, and he was talking about his favorite team, and I was talking about the Portland Trail Blazers. And I'm probably one of the few. I was the only person in the pool area that had actually listened to basketball on radio, because of course everybody can watch it on their phone now. And these guys were all a bunch of young men. And so there's all these changes, but it used to be an amazing thing, the technology of computers. Now we don't even think about computers. They're just everywhere that we are. I tried to lock my car today, but I hadn't shut the door all the way, so I couldn't lock my car. Because my car's so smart, it won't let me lock it and have a door still open. My car's so smart that it won't let me lock my car if my keys are still in my car. Even if I want it locked, it won't let me. But we don't think about all the technology that comes with digital things, with computers. But it used to be a mystery, but it's not anymore. And so we have this idea of vision, is that when God's giving divine secrets, okay? Divine secrets, eternal information. And how many of you want revelation? Most of us. So, but see, this is the thing, is we think that vision of my life or my future or my business or my marriage is separate from God's revelation and God's mysteries. But I'll tell you what, it takes divine revelation. It takes information from God for you to have the business that really prospers that you really want, or the marriage that works really well that you really hope for. It takes revelation. So only humans divide up vision, my vision and God's revelation. One's better and one's worse. They just go hand in hand. They go really well together. So when we talk about vision, I want you to hear seeing things for the future of your life, a year down the road or 5 years down the road or 15 years down the road. But I also want you to hear this revelation where God's releasing and giving us divine information and divine secrets to us, okay? And they're not secrets that are like super complex algorithms, but they're just real simple things about, this is how I created you. This is how I made you. This, if you do this, you'll be happier. If you do this, you'll be more blessed. Those are divine secrets that come down to us. So vision is when God releases something divine into the hearts and minds and hands of humanity. And vision is not separate, again, from revelation. It's the same thing. Now, you can take vision and just run with it. I want this much more money this next year, and have no revelation from God. And this vision almost becomes a bad taskmaster and becomes a thing that you put your hope in. But when we have God's heart for us and we make plans according to God's heart for us and we write that vision, I want to fight with my spouse less. I want to earn more money or save more money or give more money this next year. I want to get drunk less. I want to eat less. I want to eat better. I want to be kinder. I don't want to gossip. See, if we just don't gossip, we can stop gossiping and still have a wrongness in our heart. But when we have revelation of, oh, God's called me to use my words for good and not for evil, then we have that power that backs us up and propels us into that. So if you don't have vision for your life, then something is broken. We are called to be a people of vision, right? We could agree on that. We're called to be people of vision. And I want us to take a survey here. Raise your hand if you hope to weigh 20% more next year. The skinny guy in the back said yes. Okay, and then raise your hand if you want less relationship stress next year. I want less relationship stress all the way across the board next year. Wouldn't that be awesome? You don't have to raise your hand on these. How many of you want to increase what you earn by 25% this next year in 2017? How many of you want more joy, peace, and love in the next 8,760 hours that you have for 2017? And then we say, I don't have any vision, but you answer any of those questions, you just said you have vision. You have a perspective, a look on your life that at the end of this year, you would hope you have more peace in your heart. You would hope there's more harmony in your relationship. You would hope that maybe you're more courageous, less angry, more joyful, less afraid. Those are all visions that we have all the time. And when we get revelation from God, when he gives us this divine information of how to be happy, healthier, joyful, less stressed, a bigger giver, a better steward, all of those things, then it really begins to do something for us. All right? So every one of us has vision. If you hear yourself in any area saying you don't have vision, I could sit down with you in an hour and not even ask you about vision, and I could hear vision coming out of you if you said, I'm so worried about my kids. Oh, I wish I liked my job better. I wish I had a nicer car. You know, I feel afraid all the time when I listen to the news. You're just describing vision in your areas. You have vision in your emotions. You have vision in your mind. You have vision in your relationships. And so vision, to answer the question, what is vision? It's when God gives us things in heaven, that revelation. He gives us divine information, divine mysteries. He hands them into the human hands, okay? And into our hearts, all right? So this next question, so we have what is vision, is how can I get vision? And hopefully that little survey just answered it. We all have vision. We need to clarify it. We might just need to listen to the vision. And the Bible tells us to write down the vision. And it writes down the vision. It says write down the vision. So when you're running and you're working hard and you're moving along in your life and it comes to June and you still have what you said, the same thing you had in 2016, when it gets to June, you can go, oh, wait, I believe God wants to give me more of this. And I haven't even been pursuing it. I haven't put any action towards that. I haven't activated my faith towards what God has told me he wants for me, for my family, and for my business. Now, the Bible teaches us that we get revelation from God. We get divine mysteries. We get eternal information given to us from God in four ways. And only four ways, by the way. There are some other things that are outside of Scripture that we can get, but there's four ways. The first one is called theophanic, but we're just call it incarnational. Like it's God incarnate. It's God showing up like he does to Mary. So the first way is incarnational, is through angels and through the presence of God being there, all right? The literal presence of God being there, or at least the angel of God being there, all right? So that's first one. That almost never happens. But a lot of us are waiting on vision till an angel shows up and tells us what we should do with our life, right? Well, I want it to be this. An artist, I want it to be a businessman, I want it to be whatever it is, I want it to be this, I want it to be nicer, I want it to have a ministry, I want it to help people, but I never got an angel to show up. And we don't maybe say that, but we feel that a lot, that the people that have the story of an angel showing up are better than us, even though it almost never happens. The second way we receive revelation, we receive divine mysteries from the Lord, is it called experiential. We experience a prophetic word, we experience a vision, we go to sleep, we have a dream, or we vision, we see something, and it's experience. And it can also be a deep, strong sense that God is speaking to us, about our future, about who we are, and where we're going. This could be, we could call it prophetic word. It could be a word of knowledge or word of wisdom that would direct us and change us. It could just be a deep sense in prayer that this is the way I'm supposed to go. So it's first is the incarnational God, angels showing up. The second is experiential, a prophetic word, a vision. And again, some church cultures are stuck on this. You don't budge without God revealing his mysteries through a prophetic word. And then, guess what happens? You get stuck because you're dependent upon mankind. You're dependent on, I got to go see the prophet. I got to hear the prophet. And those are all old covenant ways, which are good. We still want those. We still need those. The third way is scriptural. And there are some denominations that God's never going to show up. Angels are never going to show up the first way. The prophetic words are dead. That's never going to happen. You never hear directly from the mysteries of God. They're never handed down to you. You have to dig and work really hard in Scripture to find out where they are. And the second one, experiential, is like you have to be really good and in the right place at the right time in the right revival service with the right prophetic personality to get this word. But this third one, scriptural, is full of revelation from God for us. And we don't have to wait on any person to get a vision for our life. We can look in here and say, you know what? peace that passes understanding, peace that I can't describe, peace that blows my mind in the midst of bad problems. That is God's revelation to me. And it's the divine mysteries are given to you when you attach yourself to that and it explodes in you and you go, oh, I can have peace. I can have that. And that becomes your vision for you, especially if you're a person that doesn't walk in much peace. And this is the thing is on this is before we get to the fourth one, is a lot of us are waiting on a special scripture. A lot of us wait on a prophetic word about a special scripture that tells us something that we can do. And we're always waiting. We're blaming God for not moving. We're blaming God for not having vision. I hear all the time, well, I'm not going to do it until God tells me to do it. It's like, are you reading scripture at all? It says, where the least of these are, I'm there. What you do to them, you do to me. That's a vision. Just go out and help people. Let's help people in our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. So we have incarnational, God and angels. We have experiential, a prophetic vision from God, deep sense that God's speaking to us. And then the third one, scriptural. And the fourth one is the natural. And that feels wrong, doesn't it? You have incarnational, angels, yes, prophetic word, yes, scripture, yes. But God speaks a lot through the natural things in our life. If I'm born and I grow up like Wilt Chamberlain did, and I'm 13 years old and I'm 6'7", I might not need a word from God to go play basketball. Now, Wilt Chamberlain, interestingly enough, didn't like basketball at all. He played only track and field until he was like 8th or 9th grade. And I can imagine the basketball coach begging him to play basketball. But you got to remember, back then, basketball wasn't as cool as like the track and field in the Olympics and football was back then. It was not as vibrant as a sport as it is now. And we didn't have the superheroes like we do now back then. But there's something natural that we're built. The way we think, the way we feel, the way we hear and see the world, the way we perceive the world is a natural thing that God's done in us. And it is as equal. I want you to hear this. It is as equally as important as scripture and prophetic words. And that gets a little bit difficult, but let me give you an example. If somebody gave you a prophetic word that opposed scripture, you would say, I will throw away that prophetic word, right? But people put scripture upon us or prophetic words upon us, and there's no naturalness that God's given us in our wonderful, amazing, unique bodies and our personality to fulfill what they've given us. And we love stories where somebody's like, I sat down at the piano, I never played the piano before, I started playing and I'm a wonderful pianist now, and I speak 4 languages and God gave it to me. And we like that because it's supernatural. But mostly God gives us this raw material that he partners with us that takes surrender, it takes dedication, it takes commitment, and it takes faith that I read in scripture that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and that God's going to do something great with me and through me. If that's being a mom or a dad, if that's being a 10-year-old, if that's being a 50 or 60 or 70-year-old, doesn't matter what it is, wherever we're at, that this natural thing through our personality, through how I feel, but we don't take that and honor it very much, do we? It's just like separate from prophetic words and separate from scripture. But when God looks down on these 4 ways to experience revelation, he says them all equally. We kind of talked that a little bit about that a little bit in the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. John the Baptist, angels showed up, but there was no supernatural seed birthing John, but there was with Jesus. But one couldn't happen with the natural. The supernatural couldn't happen without the natural. And we have this all the time where they go hand in hand. There's all of these natural things that need to take place that are taking place that if we see them and we honor them and we steward them and we take the form and we create art out of who we are, then the supernatural comes in and begins to do something. Now, people get stuck on this a lot about the natural. they dishonor or disregard the raw material, the personality that God gave them. And they don't value their uniqueness. And I want to challenge you to think about yourself this year, about what you see and what you want and how you want to show up to church, how you want to show up to work, how you want to show up to your relationships as a vision. And there's a writing down that comes that we're going to talk about later, but we're called to write down vision. And here's why we write down vision. Because clarifying vision and writing down vision is a violent act of defiance against the enemy that says that you're no good. It's an act of faith to say, this year, I want this, is an act of faith. And, you know, the whole Trump winning, I was reading some statistics today, and it was like 88% chance Trump won't win, that Clinton will win. One report was 99%. And, you know, a lot of people after he was elected said, I always knew he was going to be elected. But we were all like, who cares? You're just saying it now. We never heard it. We don't remember it. But if you wrote it down, if you wrote it down and you say and you declared, I think Trump's going to be elected, I think everybody else is wrong, then that means something. But we're afraid to write down what we want. What we want. We're afraid to write it down and say, God, I believe you want to give me more peace, more love, more in touch with blank, more connection with blank, more energy towards blank, more clarity in my blank. We've got to write these things down. It declares something. It declares something. And it gives you good markers. Writing something down gives you good markers for, did I accomplish it? Did I get to where I said God wanted me to go? We use God said a lot loosely for like other things. But when we say God said, I believe God is saying he wants me to have more of blank next year and less of blank by the end of this year. We write it down and we believe that he's going to do that. We remind him what we feel like he's doing. We let him correct us if he doesn't want to give us that. But we write it down and it opens up this marker of a starting point and an ending point. If you say I want X amount of dollars or X amount of my health to be better, then what's your markers? Do you have high this or low this and you want to get to here? What are your markers? You would start with that. If you were going to work out, you would take a picture of yourself. Then about 3 months later, you look at yourself and say, I've changed or I haven't changed. And so that's what writing things down does for us. So we did, what is vision? How do I get vision? And then I'm going to just stay briefly on number three, is how does vision help me? It's going to be a little bit probably counterintuitive to you of how vision helps you. Let's go back to the scripture. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but blesses the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. It's counterintuitive, but vision helps by restraining you. How many of you want to be restrained? We really don't, though, do we? We don't want anybody to restrain our diet. We don't want anybody to restrain how we spend our money. We don't want anybody to restrain how we feel. We don't want anybody to restrain what we say. In fact, we think Christianity is all about freedom, and he sets me free to do whatever I want. But in this idea here is that without a vision, without revelation from God, people perish, all right? And or perish, or we cast off restraint, or we go wherever we want. But in this imagery, we have to remember that we are never, ever free and not yoked to somebody. We're either yoked to sin, or the devil, or this side. But we think we're set free. We go over here, now I'm just free. But it actually, in Scripture, it says then we're then yoked to him. And his burden is light, and his burden is easy. But this is what happens, I think. We get unyoked, we go over here, we don't like the yoke of surrender, so we go back into our own yoke, or a yoke of religion, which is a yoke of the enemy. All right? So this freedom, this restraint is so important for us to remember. You cannot have what you want in life. You cannot be who you want in life without restraint. And it's not religious restraint. It's not legal restraint. It's relational strength, restraint. He has me bound. He binds my mouth up so I can't be angry. He binds my wounds up so I won't be bitter and fearful. Does that make sense? So it's this restraint that is so important. This restraint that so many of us need to have. Jesus sets us free into relationship with him. So I want you to repeat this. I'm going to say it. I want to be restrained this year. Say it. I want to be restrained this year. Sounds bad, doesn't it? So vision, God, vision for your life, for who you are, will tell you how much time to spend watching TV. It will tell you what to eat. It will tell you who to be around. It will tell you where to put your energy. It will tell you where to put your money. Vision will restrain you, because if you're going to give time here, you're restrained from doing what you normally would do. If you're going to give finances here, you're restrained from spending it over here. And some of us really struggle with restraint. We fight all the time and so much energy pushing against bonds. But if we're surrendered to him, he's asking us to put on his restraints. And most of us, I would say every one of us needs to be restrained somewhere. Maybe it's just in how we use our emotions. Maybe we're not using our emotions. And we've restrained them. We haven't let the Holy Spirit take care of them. Restrained in our time, our finances, our thoughts, our imagination. Some of us, our imaginations are unrestrained. So vision tells me so much about life. And I'm gonna close with communion, because communion, if everybody can come up front and share a basket. Think about that. The death of Jesus is a visionary act. It's a going forward. It's a hopefulness. Is that Jared? How you doing, Jared? I am. The cross is a visionary act. Communion is an act of vision. Thank you. So communion is an act of vision. It's an act of, but it's also a restraining act. I want you to hear that. It's a restraining act, because this is what it says. I will remember him. And when we remember him, gossip goes away. When we remember him, fear goes away. It restrains us when we remember him. We say, I don't have to perform religious acts. I don't have to work really, really hard to be good. It restrains us from doing wrong things and wrong works. And it engages us and gives us vision for right works. So go ahead, just close your eyes.